tuned in to Radio Aryan.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Stormer Report. Today's date is the 18th of November. I'm Sven Longshanks and I'm joined today with the publisher of the Daily Stormer, Mr. Andrew Anglin. And he has some very good news to start off with today, I think. You were just telling me just then something I think the visitors to the site will be pleased to hear, Andre.
Well, I mean, it's sort of good news. It's kind of the traffic on the site has gone up about 50% since the Paris attack. So, I mean, I guess that's good news. Is people are waking up to things and people are interested to find out what's going on. And I guess people are finding that new people are finding the site since this has happened. Maybe it's some people who I don't have very good analytics on the site. I just use a simple program that gives the number of people. I used to have Google Analytics, which made a little bit more sense. But yeah, so I mean that's incredible. We usually have about 100,000 people a day, and this is up to on Saturday it was up to almost 200,000, and then it's leveled off at about 140, 150 for the last 3 days. So it's quite a jump. I mean, you know, I doubt it'll necessarily stay like that. It's certainly people are more interested now right after this has happened, and we're covering it a lot, obviously. But, you know, I mean, this terrorist attack, people don't want to be blown up. That's something that people don't want to have happen to them. And they don't want to get shot at their rock concert. And the governments of Europe are just saying, well, you just have to tolerate this because of diversity, which, I mean, at that point, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's fine when it's like, oh, well, this is happy, happy. Everything's happy. We'll help these people because they're poor. We'll let them come live in our countries on welfare. It's happy. Makes us feel good about ourselves, which is a very selfish thing. I mean, this is all portrayed as altruism when in reality, I mean, it's very, very selfish to want to feel good about yourself by allowing all of these people in the country when it harms your society, it harms your children. It's disrespectful to your ancestors, which I guess is a little bit more abstract. But I mean, obviously people work for their children and future generations to have something, and to just give it all away is very selfish. But in the more obvious way, I mean, to force kids to that were born into a first world society to grow up in a third world Muslim country is not fair, because it makes you feel good. And you know, the main reason for the immigration is that it makes people feel good. So you know, that when they start getting blown up, it's like that, you know, survival takes over, where you come to a point where it's like, is this really worth it that I feel good to help poor people by giving them welfare in my country? Is it worth risking my life? And I think for most people, the answer is going to be no.
Yeah, no, I think people are coming to the site because they're looking at the mainstream sites for information about this, and they're looking for people that have got the same view as them, that they want to see people condemning Islam and condemning immigration, and they're not finding that on the mainstream sites. And you know that that's what people are thinking, because the mainstream sites have all shut down their comment sections on everything to do with this, and the few comment sections that are open, all the anti-immigration comments are getting thumbs up 10 to 1 to the comments by people that are saying, you know, this is being really xenophobic or how hateful. All those comments are getting marked down. And all the people that are saying, well, this is exactly what's going to happen, we have to shut the borders now, all those comments are getting marked up. So I think that has a lot to do with it. People are looking to hear what you are saying at the Daily Stormer, Andre. So that, I think that's why it's gone up, and hopefully those numbers are going to stay up. And it's not just the people that are going out, the so-called soft targets. It's also the police. I was just thinking today, and this is to do with another article of yours, which links it to the race war. This is a real war that we're now in, and our police, it's just, they just don't know what to do. They're going there to arrest soldiers of an invading army that are blowing themselves up when they go there to arrest them. That's the latest thing that's happened today. Female jihadi blew herself up when the police went to arrest them. This is why should our police be doing the jobs of the army? And how can they hope to arrest people that are, that have declared war against Europe and against white people and are trying to kill all the white people? I mean, they're not committing crimes. It's a real war that we're in the middle of. And I think that's what people want to hear. That's what they want to hear, other people saying that. They want to know that it's okay to say that, and it's acceptable to say that. And I really think that sooner or later we really are going to see some trouble on the streets due to this, because this is going to carry on going on and on. And these people that have done this, the jihadis that have blown themselves up, they're reporting them as being Frenchmen. Two of them they're saying are, yeah. Frenchmen. And yeah. they've clearly got nothing to do with French heritage whatsoever. They've just got this piece of paper saying that. And if you look at it, I mean, wherever these terrorist acts occur, the uniting factor is that it's always in countries that have got Muslims in them. So the idea that...
Well, nobody else does this.
No, nobody.
I mean, you don't... Nobody does it. And... you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk from Nazis that it's a racial problem rather than a religious problem. Which, I mean, okay, I mean, clearly they do. It is racial, yeah. But Islam is in itself a racial ideology that people take up, and I mean, it negatively affects their behavior. You can see this in Asia, where these countries. I mean, okay, the Philippines has a Muslim minority. It's like 10%, I think. And these people do this shooting on the streets and kidnappings and blowing things up. And they're the exact same. They're the same race as the people, you know, in the country, the rest of the country. But that, you know, that this religion, it has an effect on people. And, you know, I mean, it brings down the level when European people convert to Islam. I think it brings down their moral level, and to the level of not so low as these other races, but it makes them kind of mimic that behavior. Just like I think, you know, maybe Christianity for brown people, maybe it helps them kind of mimic white behavior in a lot of cases. So, I mean, this was the theory by giving them all churches during slavery, and it seems to have worked out okay for the most part. But I mean, it is a religion that blows people up. Nobody else does this. I mean, even the blacks, they do crazy stupid things where they kill people, but it's usually just stupidity, or, you know, a lot of times it's drugs, or they're horny and want to rape somebody and then go on a rampage once they get their blood pumping. But nobody organizes mass murders of random people besides Muslims. And there's no history of anyone ever doing this, but the Muslims have done it forever. I mean, ever since this has been a religion, they've randomly done mass murders against people. It's like a fundamental part of their culture to do random mass murders of people in large groups. I mean, they used to go through with swords and villages and just kill people randomly. It's just something that they do.
And besides that, they are quite happy to kill themselves in the process. I think this is a problem. They're willing to die. Like today, rather than get arrested, this female blew herself up and injured the police that were going there, trying to arrest them. It's the thing, trying to arrest them. They must just be laughing at us. You know, we send police there to arrest armed soldiers of an invading army that have declared war on the country, that have got their enemy agents embedded in our nations, these terrorists, and we send police there to arrest them. I mean, the only answer to this, to actually prevent this, is remove them.
Well, yeah, obviously. I think they were... I mean, they're at least military police, but I think they were some security service that was – I think the police were outside, but the actual people who went in I don't think were technically normal police. But, I mean, you have to get rid of these people. They have to be gone. You just can't have – you can't have these people. There's no – because, I mean, anytime you have them, they're going to do this. Or anytime there's a group of them. Maybe one or two, you can say, well, one guy is not going to go out and start blowing things up. But the thing is, whenever you have a group of them, they get together. It's the same thing. Like, I had one black guy at my high school. You know, when you have one black guy, he's not, I mean, he's going to be more likely to do a violent act than a white person, obviously, just because of his genetics. But, these other races, they have a group mentality. And when they get together, their behaviors, they bounce off each other and they maximize. So, when you have a completely foreign population living in inside of your country, like France, I mean, France, what were they thinking? I mean, this has been a project since the end of World War II, and it's ongoing that they allow these people to just live as a separate society. They're all on welfare. They're all selling drugs and running prostitutes and everything else in these suburbs of Paris and in Marseille. And I mean, they're just sick thing. They offer nothing to the society except kebab. Which, again, you would only need one or two, what percentage do you need? You don't need 15% of your population so you can have kebab. And, I mean, is kebab really that valuable? I don't know. I mean, most people eat it because it's cheaper. Maybe if you weren't paying welfare for these people, you could subsidize food. People can buy cheap meals. Our economies would definitely be better if we didn't have these people. But, yeah, I mean, you have an alien population, basically a colony inside of your country of people who hate you, hate everything about you, and want to take you over. I mean, that is the ideology, and it's not a secret. They just, I mean, the media will keep saying, oh, well, most of them are peaceful. But then you read the statistics in France where it, apparently 100% of Muslims support ISIS. Okay, so what I mean, they say it's 16% of the, or maybe 15% of the French population, which is, I think, the exact number of Muslims. So when they say that means that literally 100%, or you know, someplace above 98% of these people in France support ISIS. So why? And most of these people were born there. You know, if they were going to change and become normal French secularists, they would have already done that. That's not going to happen. These people just get more extreme the longer, because we have a more individualistic culture and a slightly looser culture. And this agitates these people. I mean, being around us agitates them. They get upset by being around us, so they grow to hate us even when they're born inside of the country. They just want to kill. And most of these people, apparently, I mean, maybe we don't exactly know, but we know that some of them were born in Belgium and France, you know. So why are they blowing things up? You know, some of them came in as refugees. Apparently, that's not totally clear yet, but it looks that way, that two of them came in as refugees, at least. But, you know, the rest of them that are born there, I mean, what are they doing? They're going in and out of Syria and killing people, then coming back to France and killing people. You know, who looks at this and is like, yeah, let's bring more Muslims. It's a good idea. And you know, there's no cost benefit analysis. I think I even said this last time we did a show that it was incredible. I should have written about it. I meant to, but I didn't. But some economist was writing for some Jew paper. I don't know if the economist was a Jew, probably, presumably. And he said that, you know, to do a cost benefit analysis would be wrong. That you can't do a cost benefit analysis on the immigrants. But I mean, think about a cost. Think about the weight of that statement to not do a cost benefit analysis of anything. I mean, what else in the universe would you not say? I mean, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, what laundry detergent to use and so on, you do a cost benefit analysis. It's any behavior in your life, you do a cost benefit analysis. Any decision you make, that's a basic function of neurology. To analyze the positives and negatives of a certain behavior or decision. So to say that you don't do it because there's no benefits. The only thing you can say is kebab. And what does that mean? We're going to just destroy our entire society. Speaking of which, the Donald came out and said that these migrants are destroying all of Europe. This is the statement he made. So, I mean, he just keeps going and going, this guy. This is incredible, the stuff he's saying. And this is after, I don't remember if we talked about this last time. I do not think we did. But this is after he came out and called the French our people. He referred to the white French as our people. So, I mean, this is monumental in itself, this statement, because this is a racial statement to say our people. I mean, the French, they don't speak the same language. They're on a different continent. So to say our people, it can only mean the white race. You know, I mean, I look at pictures of them. I can't tell the difference between they're my neighbors, but I know if I met them, they'd be rude and have a offensive accent. But, to say our people, this is a racial statement by Donald Trump. So that's, that's looking very upward. And I'm just looking at this picture now of Macy Breu. I would say Brox, but I'm sure it's not pronounced that way. But I'm looking at this girl with her boyfriend that got killed, and the quote is from the mother, and it says, "They were so good for each other. They had so many plans just to get married, have kids. I think it would have been soon." So, I mean, I look at these people, and I just see people that could be my neighbors. To say our people when talking about whites, this is a heavy, important statement.
Yeah, it's very good to hear that he's done that. And it's very non-politically correct as well. And a large part of this is that rather than saying that this is our people, the white people, the way this is being presented is that all these other races are part of our people. When they've been showing you the victims, they said the other day on BBC, well, let's just have a look at some of these victims. And they showed you 10 victims, and 6 or 7 of them were non-white. And you know that was probably all the non-white victims out of the whole lot, and they put them all in there to try and get some kind of sympathy for people and to make people think, oh, well, maybe it's not just white people that these people are attacking. And when you're saying that, they're second generation immigrants, they're not first generation immigrants. They're
and third that are, in France.
And third. So that just shows you that it's in the blood for them to do this. You know, it's the religion itself encourages them to do it, and the religion itself comes from their racial soul. And that's why they do this. You're not going to be able to educate them into not doing it because they've already had a lifetime of education. And I saw
France.
Go on.
I was just going to say France has a hardcore brainwashing program. I mean, for the French education system is like super hardcore liberal. Like nothing else in the world. And, I mean, maybe Sweden, but that's the only country you could even compare it to. And Sweden has these same problems. But, I mean, they try and brainwash these people, and it just doesn't work. You can't brainwash Muslims into secular atheism. It doesn't work.
Well, that was the birthplace of all the liberal ideology, from the French Revolution, wasn't it? Liberty, fraternity, equality, the old watchwords from the Masonic lodges that they made into the motto of France. So that France has had the longest liberal so-called democracy out of all the countries. So if anybody was going to be able to change them, then it would be France. And I saw a poll the other day that was of the Syrians, supposedly of the Syrian refugees, and that was saying, I think, 13 or 16% support ISIS. So when they say, well, these refugees that came in that blew themselves up and attacked these people, they were fake refugees. They weren't fake refugees. And over 10% of these so-called refugees support ISIS in the first place. And they're not fleeing from ISIS. They're fleeing from Bashar Assad and Russia, who are trying to sort the mess out over there. So you've got these. It's
well, they're
admitted.
All Sunnis.
Well, yeah, and it's admitted that they're coming.
We don't
in.
Have. We don't have. Yeah, I mean, it is admitted. but we don't have Shiites coming in. These are all Sunnis, and all Sunnis will support ISIS. I mean, some of the Syrians might not. Sunni. I mean, they support Assad. I mean, the majority of people support Assad, according to his election, where he won 88% last year. But yeah, I mean, so these people are coming in. Of course, they support ISIS. All Muslims support ISIS. It's the normal version of Islam. That's what I mean. They keep saying it's radical. It's radical. But I mean, it's the basic belief. I mean, read the history of this religion. This is what these people act like. So, you know, I mean, it's nonsensical to say that these people are not representative of the Islamic faith. I mean, the Shiite religion is different. It's like almost like a completely separate religion. I mean, they still praise Muhammad and so on, but I mean, it's like, effectively, it's like a completely different religion, and this is the lighter skinned people that are more I don't know if you would say more liberal. I mean, that's probably what the media would say, but more modern. I think you could say safely that they're more evolved as a group. It's not so medieval, but yeah. I mean, they admit that they're coming in and they support ISIS, and they're like, well, we're just going to keep bringing them in. I mean, they shut down they just took down a plane, two planes going to France from the U.S. From the U.S. to France. They canceled the flights because they said there were bomb threats. They canceled two major football games. They're canceling everything. They're shutting everything down and saying, well, we got to just keep bringing these people in. This is insane. You can't even process it. Why are these people coming in the first place? That's the question that we've been asking for a very long time. And then when you add, well, they're coming in to kill us, but we just got to keep bringing them. I mean, this is like an actual, like a, you can't even process it. It's so insane that you just don't even know how to even look at it or think about it. So I think that's the way it is for most people. That's part of the strategy of this whole thing, is making people shut down mentally and psychologically and, you know, emotionally, so that they just can't even comprehend it because it's too much. So they just shut down and just say, well, whatever you say, I mean, you're the authorities, we'll just go along. I don't think that anybody would be getting us killed on purpose. Nobody is that insane. But these people are that insane, because all these Jews, and a rich Jew's wife died. I'm sure there were probably other Jews. I don't know if there would be Jews at a heavy metal concert, but I mean, at least one rich Jew's wife got killed in this attack. So, you know, these Jews, the most important thing to them is to kill Whitey. That's what Jews are obsessed with, because we're seen as their like arch nemesis. So it's like if they have to kill themselves to kill us, it's worth it, because that's their whole racial identity is basically based on abusing white people, because they as a hive mind, they view whites as some kind of threat to their existence. But I mean, they're going to the point now where it's like Jews are getting killed. And I mean, all these Jews in France have been saying this forever, that they're getting attacked in the streets and that people are screaming at them and spitting on them. And they just keep pushing for more immigration. I mean, it's the same thing in Sweden. The Jews in Sweden are all saying, well, these people are attacking us and threatening us on the streets. But they just keep wanting more immigration. So, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. The whole thing is just unbelievable.
Well, have you heard this part of the narrative where they're saying that ISIS wants us to close the borders to the Muslims? Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Like ISIS really want us to close the borders. If the borders had been closed to the Muslims, ISIS wouldn't have been here in the first place, and they wouldn't have been able to set any bombs off. But that is seriously what they're saying, is that if we close the borders, we're giving in to ISIS. That's exactly what they want us to do. Yeah.
Announced like 3 months or I should pull it up. ISIS announced that they were sending terrorists, whatever, agents disguised as refugees. They announced it. I mean, they said it on their YouTube channel and on their Twitter. Like, we're sending terrorists in there, fake refugees. They're all fake refugees, though. I mean, you know, they're all coming through Turkey. This is what – Turkey is not at war. To get to Europe from the Middle East, you have to go through Turkey. And Turkey is not at war, and nobody is starving in Turkey. So, I mean, if you're a refugee and you see these refugees, I just saw this video. This girl looks like she's from Puerto Rico and talks like it too, has that sort of cocky, prissy thing. I mean, you don't really picture that with Muslim women from Syria, but she has that like Latina saltiness, and she's got a boyfriend, or maybe it's her brother. I don't know. I mean, they're together closely. You can tell in this video, but he's got a red mohawk. Okay, with some braid things in his mohawk, and she's all did up with, you know, I mean, you don't see her fingernails in the video, but I'm sure they look like a black woman's. And she's saying, well, fair enough, we'll just go back to our country. We don't like this room. There's no TV in the room, and you have no privacy. So, you know, what are these people expect? They're all saying, there's all these videos now on YouTube of these people saying, well, we'll just go back. We just want to go back. This is not good enough. So what are they fleeing from? If they're just going to up and say, well, this isn't good enough, we want to go back to our country, it's better there. I mean, you know, if you're really like there's mortar shells coming through your wall, you know, I mean, you're going to take anything you can get to get away from it. You would probably take whatever you get in Turkey, where you can go to a refugee camp and they feed you. And, you know, so, I mean, this is another thing Donald Trump came out and said when he said that they were destroying Europe. He said, why don't you just buy land in Syria and protect it and bring all these people there? I mean, this is still assuming that you it's your responsibility to take care of these people, which I guess in some way it is our responsibility, because we started – I mean, the Jews that control our government started this stupid war in Syria by funding all these terrorists to attack Assad, because Assad is viewed as a threat to the Jews just because they can't tolerate – I mean, the same thing with Gaddafi, Saddam, even the Taliban, which is not even close to Israel. But they can't tolerate the concept of a strong leader anywhere. I mean, even if it's a country like Syria, which is not, you know, I mean, it's not before the war, it wasn't as bad, as poor as some of the other Arab countries, but it still wasn't very good as far as countries go. But, you know, I mean, even that, to have this leader who's like, well, we don't tolerate this, and having the constitution of Syria, well, we're against Zionism, just like Gaddafi had it in his constitution. The Ba'ath Party of Iraq, Saddam, had it in their constitution. Obviously, the Taliban was against Israel. So what the Jews want is this constant monkey chaos of just people running around in the deserts chopping each other's heads off for no reason, just I guess because it's exciting. And I mean, that's what the Jews want, so that's a situation they've created.
I also like to try and play on it and say, oh, this is what we have to put up with the Palestinians. Now you know what it's like, what we have to put up with when you see these terrorist acts. And of course, they don't bear any resemblance to the Palestinians, who are basically just defending their land. And we're the ones that should be behaving like the Palestinians against the Muslims and against the Jews, because they're the ones that are occupying our lands. Jews. I think Trump was spot on there with what he said. I mean, that is a simple solution. You just get a bit of land, make sure that it's safe, and you put them there if they're genuine refugees. But
you could do it in Turkey easily. I mean, Turkey has a safe border. You could put it in Turkey and just give some money for these people to get tents and some food in Turkey. But Turkey's already doing that, though. So it becomes like – it just becomes double crazy, because Turkey already has these tent camps where these people can set up. And they still get on these boats, which it's probably the Turkish government giving them the rafts to go to Greece. But, I mean, it's just from the start of it, the whole thing is just so insane. I mean, because how can anybody tolerate this war in Syria? Why are we funding all these terrorists? I mean, what's the explanation? There's no explanation. They say Assad is bad. And, you know, I mean, there's no evidence that Assad has ever done anything. They use the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights and say that he's gassing people because of tweets that this guy tweeted based on no evidence. And, you know, I mean, you take that and then it's like, well, let's bring the entire population of the country to Germany. And then if they start killing us, well, we'll just bring more of them. It's like it's incomprehensible. And, you know, the media is who is to blame here. The Jewish media. Because if the media came out and was like, what's going on here? What are we even talking about? How is this happening? It's the same thing with this Black Lives Matter stuff, obviously. I mean, that's more obvious even. When you look at the Black Lives Matter of just that the media won't say, what are these people talking about? I just posted a couple hours ago an article from the New York Times where they had readers submit instances of racism on campus. So this is the New York Times, biggest newspaper, probably the most powerful newspaper in the world, comes out and says, well, tell us what's happening to you. Tell us about your experiences of racism on campus. And every single one of these is somebody saying, well, somebody called me a name, or somebody looked at me. They looked at me different. Somebody, it's just like paranoid craziness. And that's what but the media publishes this. The New York Times publishes this. And they're like, yeah, look at this. Everybody needs to resign. Everybody, the whole university system, everyone has to resign because somebody called somebody a name. You know, I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. But I mean, that's just the norm now, is that nothing makes any sense. Nobody explains anything. Or even tries to explain it. They just say things that are obviously insane on the face of them, and then just act like it's like an emperor with no clothes type thing. You act like if you don't believe this gibberish, then there's something wrong with you.
I think people must be really confused that don't really understand all of this by what they're seeing in the media, because instead of seeing the victims, the white victims that have been attacked by the immigrants, people that have been murdered or people that have been raped. Instead of that, you know, the journalists are interviewing the people that are actually invading our country and asking if they can help them. And how hard has their journey been? You know, this must be so confusing for people. And it's like when you see the people in Paris and they went to show their respects at this candlelit vigil, someone let a firework off and they were absolutely terrified. The whole lot of them stampeded over all the vigil stuff, all the flowers are running over the top of them, screaming, you know, an absolute hysteria. And that is how much psychological damage has been done to them. And yet still they're saying we need more refugees. We can't close the borders. You know, the whole nation has been psychologically damaged by this and yet cannot face up to it, cannot actually name the enemy that has done it to them. They're too frightened to do that. And the media won't do it either. And the media should be interviewing nationalists and people that have been warning about this for years, people who are experts in Islamic terror and the crimes that these immigrants commit against our people. That's what the media should be showing. But it doesn't show that. What it shows you is people calling for more immigration. It interviews Muslims and brown people saying our civilization, who have never contributed anything whatsoever to the civilization that they're living among. You even get them saying our, meaning British people. It's so insulting. And yeah, these are the people that they'll interview about this.
The blacks don't even make rap music. I mean, at least in the U.S., the blacks are producing rap music that I can listen to in the club. But yeah, I mean, in Europe, what do they do? What are these people? You see it all the time. They say, "Oh, we," and it's like, "Well, who are you? You're not us. I know who us are. They look like me. They look like me."
Well, this is the thing with Trump, with his "our people." He means the people that look like him. That's what he means by "our people have been attacked." And by saying "our," he means that there's also another people, a people on the outside that aren't part of the in-group. So, you know, he's being really politically incorrect there and speaking the truth.
Well, they didn't call him out.
It went down well. It seems to have gone down well. That was actually the clip that I saw on the BBC, was him saying that, "our people." And I thought that at the time. I thought that's, you know, he's drawing a line there.
Nobody in the media mentioned it. I didn't even realize it, because I hadn't watched the speech or read the entire transcript. I didn't even realize it until this happened in Texas 4 days ago. And I didn't realize it until a couple days after, because I just didn't know. Nobody was reporting on this statement that he made. And then somebody brought it up to me, and I was like, yeah, to say "our people" is incredible. To use that language. And I think, you know, the media wouldn't report on it, because that's threatening to the narrative. I mean, because, you know, I mean, most Americans, they see these French people. I mean, maybe if they have to meet them and they're rude and whatever, they won't feel this way. But they see pictures of these French people and they're like, yeah, well, these are our people. I mean, these are our people. And I think they are. I mean, I've been annoyed with French people before, but I mean, I still would say "our people." I mean, they're in the U.S., you know, we have a huge French population. I mean, we're all the same race anyway. All white people are the same blood. But I mean, we have a huge French population that's mixed in. My last name is French, so I mean, that's, I don't know why that is, but
French for English. French for English, isn't it?
Yeah.
That shows you the links. I mean, we are all linked up. French, British, European. I mean, we all are European brothers, and we're all facing the same threat, this threat of invasion, and the Muslim threat, especially in Europe with the Muslim threat. But it's the same danger that you've got in America. You've still got Islamic terrorism going on over there.
Yeah, and there are so many. No, man. I mean, it's not to the degree that London or Paris is, but there are so many Muslims. And I mean, Obama came out and said he wants 100,000 Syrians every year. 100,000. Which, okay, I mean, it's a big country, but 100,000 is a big number. And that's not even the real number. You know, I mean, these numbers are always fake, because it includes families. Probably takes it up to 500,000. So what are they bringing all these people? In my town of Columbus, Ohio, there's all these Somalians. I mean, it's number two compared to Minnesota, which were both mainly German type places, in Ohio and in Minnesota. Well, Minnesota is a lot of Scandinavians. So, you know, I mean, they put these Somalians on us, and people want to be nice. They try and be nice. These are the most sickening, primitive people. These are like insects. I mean, these are lower than like locusts, these people. I mean, they are disgusting, Somalians. Anybody who knows anything about these people knows what I'm talking about. Luckily, most people have not been exposed to them, except I don't know if they have them in the UK. I mean, they have a lot of them in Sweden. They have a lot of them in Minnesota and Ohio. They all come to those two places in the US. So anybody who doesn't live in Minnesota or Ohio probably hasn't, particularly Columbus, Ohio, but every big city in Minnesota. But people haven't been exposed to them and don't know just how bad these people are. They're not even like black. They're not even like blacks. They don't even look like blacks. I mean, they have black skin, but they have this like this triangle shaped head, like a gray alien almost, like from X-Files. the gray aliens. That's they have this weird, looks like a deformity, the shape of their head and the skinny face. And they have a skinny nose. They don't have that, and they don't have the big lips like the blacks. They, I mean, besides the color of the skin, they don't even look like Negroes. But they're, I don't even know if you would classify them as Negroes. Because it's like, you know, there's people in India who have that same color of skin as the Negroes, and they're not Negroes. I don't know. That'd be a good, I'd like to have somebody figure that out for me, if Somalians are actually even Negroes. But, yeah, I mean, they're just the most horrible people. What, Sven, have you come in contact with these people in the UK?
Not personally, but I know that they're the ones that do the female genital mutilation. They're involved in the gangs and the piracy, and I know they have a low IQ. I mean, I would describe them as Negro, definitely as Negro. They don't, but they, as you say, they have a different shaped nose. I think it's possibly just
and it's
due
totally to, different look.
Yeah, white and Arab intermixture, like breeding with Arabs and breeding with whites years ago.
But they
think that's what's caused it.
They have really dark skin, though. So it's like a lot of Arabs look like a mix between whites and Asians and blacks, like a three-way mix. But which, I mean, I guess makes sense geographically. That's where they are. But yeah, Somalians, they have no looks like anything else. I mean, they're like a completely different race almost. I mean, what probably did happen is that they are Negroes who interbred, you know, close, like Albanians, you know, really close inbreeding, and that somehow led to having different features. I mean, maybe these features of that shape of head, and they do have finer features. The women are probably more attractive. Objectively,
pretty repulsive. You are right. I think they are probably the ugliest out of all the Negroid types. I would say the Somalians.
Well, you think the women are? I mean, they have they don't have those big lips, and they have a finer, they have more refined features. They have a nose that's more slender, and I mean, they don't have the body shape of that the normal Negress has. Of that huge buttocks.
They're the skinny type, aren't they? You get the skinny type of Negro as well, like the Maasai, didn't you? And they seem to lean towards them.
It could be that I'm just saying, like, well, why do they look like this? I mean, it was probably because of interbreeding and breeding for certain traits, which, I mean, I don't know. I would say the average Somalian woman, you know, I mean, she doesn't have that monkey nose and those lips, so she's probably considered more attractive in Africa, but
with her sewed up private parts. That's just disgusting. Yeah. The habits that they have. But just to take it back to what you're saying about the Syrians that they're going to try and import into America, the 60,000 Syrian refugees. And if you go by this poll, Business Insider poll, then that's 13 to 16% of them will be ISIS supporters. And they've admitted that in a poll that they took in Syria, the refugee camps. So you know that if you're going to have that amount of people in America, you know that over 10% of them are going to be supporters of ISIS. So you're just importing terrorism into the country. And the way that they want to deal with it, I mean, this is the other article that I thought we could discuss, was about the security issues and where they're trying to snoop all the more. The snoopers charter that they're doing in Europe. They're saying, because of all these terrorist attacks, we need to read all your emails. We need to be able to tap your telephone. We need to see all your internet browsing that you've done for the last year. And you've got the left that are saying, oh no, we can't have this. This is intruding into our liberties. And yet at the same time, the left are saying, well, we need more immigration. And if we didn't have had the immigration in the first place, we never would have needed any of these intrusive laws looking into our private life and our private matters. In America, they brought in lots of laws the same. The I forget the name of it, but after 9/11, they brought all these laws in that ended up with people having to be searched and your TSA, Patriot Act, I think it was called. All of these laws, we have the similar ones in Britain, and we wouldn't have needed any of them if we didn't have the immigrants in our countries in the first place. And the more that you clamp down on things, they're still going to be attacking us. They're still going to be committing these atrocities, and the laws will get more and more and more, and we'll end up using more and more of our resources on this, and it will just be never ending. You can never solve it. You've got David Cameron saying, well, this is the challenge for the next two decades is to fight Islamic extremism and to turn these people like us. That's just it. Why would we want them to be exactly like us anyway? Why would we want them in our countries anyway? None of it makes sense. And you've got him saying, well, I want to see a Muslim prime minister in my lifetime. It really is like a psychosis, a serious mental delusions that these people are having, in disconnect in their thinking, where they're not thinking
straight. Yeah, I mean, Cameron is part Jew, so you see that coming through with him. But yeah, I mean, the security stuff.
He doesn't get pulled up on it. People support him. You know, loads of people just voted for Tory again. So the public aren't saying, well, hang on, Cameron, you're out of step there. Nobody's thinking that. You know, nobody challenged him on that when he said that. They're all clapping. Oh, yeah, more diversity. Aren't we wonderfully multicultural? You know, the disconnect in their thinking. That's what I mean. It's just people don't seem to connect things up. It's like they've got some gaps in the grey matter there. And it's mentioned in that video, the recent video, the poll video. There's a Russian advisor and he's talking in that. And he's saying that when you get these people that have been exposed to all this psychological programming, then they can't actually use logic. And even when things could be fatal to them, they still can't use their logic. And the only way to wake them up is a good kick up the backside. You know, and that's what we're having now with these terrorist acts. That is a good kick up the backside. But obviously this terrorist act wasn't enough. We need more to wake up.
Apparently not.
Sadly.
They're singing Oh Happy Days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do with these people. If they just want to die, if they just want to become Muslims, I mean, I don't know. A huge part of it is the women being involved with all this, that women are so easily manipulated emotionally that you can just get them to do anything you want. If you say, oh my God, it's so sad. These people are poor. Women should not, I mean, honestly, they shouldn't be allowed out of the house without a chaperone, let alone be allowed to vote. So, you know, to create this situation where you allow women all of this influence on society. And I mean, every time I don't closely follow, I guess I semi do, Swedish politics, but the vast majority of politicians from Sweden are women in all these parties. I mean, it's incredible. They have a country that's totally ruled by women, and these women are coming out and saying like, well, we have to have more Muslims. We can't stop these Muslims. We gotta have more of them. And you know, I mean, Sweden is literally going bankrupt trying to pay for these people. They're borrowing money to pay for these people. They don't have any place to put them. There's no place to put all these Muslims that they're bringing into their country. And these women just keep coming out and saying, well, "Yeah, we need more. We have a duty to these people." And it's like, "Well, what duty?" And like with these videos you can watch where they're saying they want to go back because the conditions aren't what they thought they were going to be, that they're not, you know, driving around in a Rolls Royce and living in a mansion, which I guess these people believe that. You know, Hollywood movies, most people are doing well, I guess, usually in Hollywood movies. So maybe they think they're just going to get all this stuff that's in the Hollywood movie. A lot of these people also watch porno and just think that that's like a normal white woman. So, I mean, that's a lot of the reason why they rape them on the street. Their minds can't comprehend that. But Yeah, I mean, the women being in charge, and then you have these men who have high estrogen. This is what I tell people. You know, you need to focus on your testosterone levels and making sure you have healthy testosterone levels, or you'll start behaving and thinking like a woman. I mean, this is what brain function is. I mean, it's mostly driven by chemicals. The way you think and the way your whole body, your psychology works is driven by these chemicals. And they've proven this with Thai trannies. You can look this up. Type Thai estrogen injections or whatever. Thai transvestite estrogen. So they give these men who want to be women, they give them estrogen injections. And it changes the entire behavior pattern and the way they think and the way they act emotionally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And also female sports people who have taken testosterone, they talk about the way their entire thinking changes when they start taking this testosterone and how they get so horny, which is, I guess, the curse of men, to this horniness that comes with testosterone. But they've also tested these women, you know, in different ways when they've taken this testosterone, that it changes the way they think, the way they feel about things, etc. So, you know, I mean, it's a big problem we have that men are becoming, well, first that we're ruled by women, and second that men are becoming more like women in the way they think and behave, which leads to irrational and sick behavior patterns, such as saying, well, let's just bring millions of people from the Middle East into Europe for no reason, because they're poor and it's sad that they're poor. You know, I mean, this makes sense, these people. Look at the rallies. Look at the pictures of the Germans welcoming these Syrian refugees. What you see is a whole lot of women, and then you see men who look like fags, men who have tits, who are fat, who have feminine facial features, which estrogen, your testosterone levels affect the way your facial features develop. Trannies. Male trannies, when they inject themselves with estrogen, it actually makes their features softer. I mean, you can't obviously change your bone structure, but it does change some of the musculature in the face to make these features softer. If you see somebody with a soft woman-like face, most likely they're going to be saying, welcome, refugees, welcome. We love you, refugees. So, you know, this is all tied together, that we have a gigantic social problem linked to feminism, and obviously ultimately caused by Jews.
Yeah, and it's a requirement now for men to say that they are feminists before they can even get into any positions of power. This is the questions they're asked. You know, I've seen it even asked on the floor of the House of Commons of David Cameron. They all have to bow down before the women and admit that they're feminists before they can even get into these positions of authority. So the feminization of everything is a large part to blame. I think you're right there, Andre. Well, we're coming up to the end of the hour now. I think we just remind people of the good news this week, which was Donald Trump saying "our people." So hopefully we're going to hear more decent things and more uplifting things from Donald Trump in the future. I don't know if you want to add anything here at the end, Andre, before we sign off.
No, I would add that people need to vote for Donald Trump. We need this to happen because, I mean, this could save Western civilization. Not that necessarily Trump is going to do that, but pushing in this direction that Trump is going in, if we get that idea into the masses, then we do have a chance of saving Western civilization, at least dialing it back a little bit to the stuff that Trump is saying, which used to be mainstream Americana, dialing it back to that point and saying, well, hey, let's think this over. Let's look at this and reassess. And with what Trump is saying, which is basically 1960s or maybe even 1970s type thinking, you know, we can come to a point where we can reevaluate some of this stuff and start deporting these filthy, sickening people from our country. We want these people out. So, you know, vote for Trump. Get it together. Whatever you have to do to get a registered in the Republican primaries. I mean, this is obviously for Americans. But like half of our audience, actually only about 40%. We are the most international of all Nazi sites. But
that's good news.
It is good news. Yeah. So, but for the Americans listening, get it together. Figure out what you need to do to vote in the Republican primaries. I'm figuring it out. Everybody's figuring it out. Get it together. Tell your family. Force your family to vote Trump and register as Republicans. Get as many people as you can. This is actually happening. We actually have a chance here. This is a way better chance than when we had Ron Paul. Because Ron Paul, nothing was really happening. And there wasn't really any chance anything was going to happen. But Trump is a completely different story. And I mean, we have to support him and stop talking about his Jew wife. Or, I mean, okay, talk about not his Jew wife, his Jew son-in-law. You know, I mean, you can talk about that. It's an important issue, but don't let that stop you from seeing the larger picture here, which is incredibly important, which is all this stuff this guy is saying is against all of the Jew agendas, and the Jews hate him. I mean, look at any Jew. They all hate him. I mean, he's got a couple, but you're always going to – I mean, like I say, Hitler had Jews who supported him, so you're always going to have a couple Jews. But organized international Jewry is flipping out. And right now, I mean, we have a situation where this could happen. There is it's not a high chance, maybe 25 or 30%, but this, I mean, in reality, this actually could happen. That we could, and if we get Hillary Clinton, we're going to be completely screwed because she is going to ban free speech. I mean, in her second term, absolutely. So we're talking about 5 years from now, she would ban freedom of speech. And what are we going to do? I mean, our whole concept is on the idea that we have in America that we have free speech. Once that's gone, I mean, all these other countries already don't have free speech. This means they'll be able to literally shut down our websites and block anything. I mean, steal our domains. That's ultimately what they could do, is steal your domain. So you have no ability to even say what you want to say. Donald Trump is not going to do that. Donald Trump is not going to allow somebody to take your guns. He's not going to allow somebody to shut down your free speech. Maybe he won't deport 15 million Mexicans or however many there are. I presume there's a lot more than that. But maybe he won't actually do that. But what he's not going to do is take away your freedom of speech or take away your guns. We cannot let these people take our guns. We cannot let them take our freedom of speech. These are core things that we need for any future. I mean, basically, once they get the guns, once they get the freedom of speech, we're underground. I mean, we're already buried. So, you know, I mean, those two things, they're not going to go under Donald Trump. So, I mean, that's enough. That's enough. And plus, he's going to save Christmas. That's enough reason alone to vote for Donald Trump, because I am so sick of these kikes attacking Christmas. It never ends of who would attack their own culture. I mean, obviously, this isn't their culture. They're Jews. But, you know, I mean, this whole Christmas thing is terrible. But, yeah, I mean, it's almost December, so I guess I can close with Merry Christmas to everybody.
Okay. Vote Trump and save Christmas. Okay, well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next week for another Stormer Report.